Welcome to the Revolution Church Sermon of the Week.
Are you sure? How many times? All right, you got it. That's right. That was the right answer. Well done. Now we can go home. He's good all the time. Amen. He really is. So I'm just getting myself a little organized up here. And unfortunately, I'm not the most organized guy when it comes to notes. And I don't have an iPad with all my notes on. So they tend to fly all over the shop. So don't worry about that, okay? Because sometimes I feel I'm going this way, then I've got to go this way, or whatever the case is. But it's good to be here. I do have a wife. There she's over there. My wonderful wife, Michelle. Okay, I've been here a couple of times, and people were saying, are you actually married? I am. Yeah. So I brought her along. I was telling the people on Friday I didn't actually go and hire her somewhere. And so she is my wife of nearly 40 years. Amen. Wonderful. It really is. We have three kids, for those of you who don't know. We have a son who is about, I don't know, how old is he? 34. He actually leads the church that we planted back in Virginia in 2003. And we handed that over 2 years ago to him, and he leads it. And he's doing a phenomenal job, far better job than I ever did. So I really mean that. He's doing wonderfully, he really is. Him and his wife, Jen, and we have two granddaughters. Sons. That's a prophecy. Granddaughters are coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, they are on their way. Okay, there's something about little girls that just do that with you. Okay. And then I have a daughter. And she's also married. Unfortunately, she doesn't have kids yet. She also lives in America with us. They all live within 2 or 3 miles of one another. We've just moved, but we're half an hour away. And then we adopted a young girl when she was 11, 12. She's now just got married last year in October. And she just found out that she's now expecting. So that's wonderful news. Amen. Yeah, it was a delight. It really was. It's a privilege to be here. Thank you to Nick and Lisa and the rest of the folk. We love this place. I said to Michelle, if we had to make the decisions just of ourselves without consulting the Lord, this is where we would live, because it's such a marvelous place. Who doesn't want to live here? I mean, let's be real. Gee, you just open your eyes and there's just beauty everywhere. It's an amazing place. It really is. But it really is good to be here. Thank you, Nick. Thank you very much. There was a guy who wrote a book called World's Greatest Revivals. I don't know if any of you ever read that. I studied on revivals for many years. It's just my heart's desire for something of that nature to begin to happen. Not for revival itself, just because of what happens through revival. Just the speeding up of things, and the saints have come alive again, and we really see who God is at work, if you understand what I'm saying. And in this book, what he said was that there have been many revivals in church history, but there have been 4 tsunami revivals. A tsunami revival, you all know what a tsunami is. And in those tsunami revivals, what God was doing was restoring truth back to his people, so that even when the revival had faded, the truth remained. The truth was washed in and brought in through the revival, and it was deposited and remained. And we now just living that truth. And the first one he spoke about was the Reformation through Knox, John Knox and Huss and Luther. And the revival there that came, that we're saved by grace, not by works. And it was a revival. It went over a period, but it shook the foundations of Christendom at that time. Just what came through Luther, you understand? We read it today and we think, well, how didn't they know that? But they fought for it. If you understand what I'm saying. And that truth was established, that we're saved by grace through faith. It's not by any works of our own, in any form or any shape. The sufficiency is in Christ. Amen. And then the next one, he said, the next tsunami of revival was the Great Awakening through Edwards and Wesley's, and we were talking about them yesterday, in Whitfield. And that whole thing was that to take the gospel outside the four corners of the building, to take it to the streets, to take it to the nations. It was a revival of great magnitude. It shook nations. It was the Great Awakening, particularly on the east coast of America. And we know in England and the Reformation that came out of it. It was an incredible. I mean, where England was headed before that revival came, it just changed the course of England. It really did. It really did. And then the next Tsunami Revival, and the author's opinion was the Azusa Street Revival that came through Alexander Dowie just before the Azusa Street, and then Charles Parham and William Seymour, and the Welsh Revival that came through Evan Roberts. They were just tools of God's goodness. And just that truth of restoring the baptism of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and how desperately we are in need of the baptism of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and be Spirit-led and understanding some dimensions of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit and the role He plays in our lives. You with me? Amen. And we're living part of those truths today. And then the fourth, in his opinion, the fourth Tsunami Revival actually came to this nation through Toronto, what people would call the Toronto Blessing. But the truth that God wanted to restore was there was the Father Heart of God. And it's interesting, in each one of these Tsunami Revivals, books started to be written before the revival came, and they continued to be written. So even before the Toronto, what we call the Toronto Blessing, people were beginning to write books on the Father Heart of God. But it was God coming to say, I'm your father over my children, and the tenderness of his heart, and to encourage his children, and to understand the whole thing of sonship and daughtership. It's a huge, there's so many Christians, but they're like orphans. Do you understand what I'm saying? They don't really understand that they belong to this heavenly father, and they belong to the body of Christ, the family. And so it was a truth that was restored. And my belief, and it's not because of me, I believe God is busy restoring a truth today. This is what I want to touch on this morning. It's a very simple truth. Very simple, but it's profound because it was the bedrock of the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going to talk about today. Amen. All right, just so you know. So if you can go with me to John. Book of John. John chapter 14. It's a very simple truth, as I said. But it's profound, absolutely profound. Just for the sake of time, if you can go to verse 6, scripture that's very, very, very well known. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us. So Jesus answered, and he gives this incredible answer. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been with you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or believe at least on the evidence of the miracles themselves. We'll carry on. So what Jesus is saying here is profound. He's saying to his disciples, you have to understand, men, that everything I have done while I walked on this earth as the Messiah, I did because the Father lives in me. Because Jesus kept saying, I can do nothing by myself. Nothing by myself. Now that's a profound statement coming from Jesus. He said it, I think, 11 times. I can do nothing by myself. Everything I do, I only do because I see my Father doing it or because I hear my Father speaking it. And whatever I see him doing and whatever I hear him speak, that's what I do. Because my Father is always at work, even to this day. That's what Jesus said. So he's saying to his disciples, you must understand this is like the last time he's going to be with them before he goes to the cross. It's just before Gethsemane. So he's departing incredible truths to them that are going to stay in them for eternity. And he's saying, guys, everything I've done is not me doing it, but it's the Father living in me that's doing his work through me. Because I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. And because the Father is in me and I'm in the Father, what I do is the Father in me. We've got to understand that when Jesus walked on this earth, he let go of some of his divine attributes to become man on earth. He let them go in a sense. Everything, he could only be at one place at one time. He wasn't omniscient. He couldn't be anywhere at once. He was confined to a human body. He could only be one place at one time. You with me? Very key to understand this. He didn't have all power. He was omnipotent. He forsook that. He gave it up. He surrendered that when he came to earth. What he needed was the baptism of the Spirit to do what he was called to do. And he needed to hear from his Father to do what he called to do. He didn't know all things, because often a time when the woman touched him, remember, Mitch, who touched me? He didn't know that. He didn't know who touched me. I had to feed the 5,000. You know, all right, how are we going to do this? All right, oh, yeah, all right, but my father's at work. My father says, son, there's a boy here with 5 loaves and some fish. He's the answer. All right. You with me? He didn't know. He asked questions. He said to the one father, how long has your son been like this? When they asked Jesus, when's he coming back? He says, I don't know. It's my father that knows that. So what he was saying is, he is the Messiah. He's the Christ. He paid the price for you and I to restore us and redeem us to the image that God first intended through Adam and Eve. When God blessed Adam and Eve and he created them in his own image and he said, go forth and multiply, what were they to multiply? It was the image of who God was. That's what they were to multiply. It was lost through sin. Jesus came to restore it. That's why he's the second Adam, that we become the image of Christ, that we bear his image in this human body, in that human body. You with me? And that we reduplicate that as others come to know the Lord. So he paid the price for us. We didn't earn it. It was by grace. But he's saying, now that you're rightly related to my Father in heaven, let's carry on reading verse 12, because of what I did at the cross. It's like he's telling them, I'm in the Father's in me, and because the Father's in me, and I'm in the Father, all the works you see and everything I said is the Father living in me. And then he like changes tack, and he says, verse 12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. It's absolutely amazing. So he's saying, I'm in the Father. Don't you know this? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm the exact representation of the Father. If you know what God's like, look at Jesus Christ. Amen. And the love and the compassion and how he dealt with people. And it's just unbelievable. That's the Father at work. And he's saying, but now I tell you the truth. What I have been doing, you're going to do. And even greater. Why? Because there's a lot more of you now. Amen. It's going to be a greater impact, etc., etc. Because why? Because I'm going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, you will get. So what he's saying, it's a profound truth, and it's a truth sometimes we struggle with because it's hard to explain. He's saying, as I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, so I will be in you and you will be in me. And just as I worked on earth and did what I did, you will do what I did, because now I will be in you and you will be me, because the Father was in me and I was in the Father. Now I'll be in you and you'll be in me. Therefore, go do what I did. Hallelujah. It's a simple truth, but it's profound. There's a divine union that takes place when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in Christ, and because we're in Christ, we become the righteousness of Christ. And everything, we have right standing in the Father because we're in Christ. Because he's forgiven us, he's washed us, he's redeemed us, he's bought us with a price, he's destroyed the work of the evil one, he rescued us from darkness, he put us in the kingdom. He said, come here, my son, you belong to me now, bought a price, I paid for you. Amen. Complete, finished, done. Finished, he said. When he died on the cross, it is finished, it's done. Hallelujah. You with me? And so when we receive Christ, we've got to understand just what the incredible event that takes place in our hearts. And you become the righteousness of Christ, and you get rightly rated back to your Father in heaven. And you've got a Father in heaven that loves you and dotes on you, loves you unconditionally at all times. Doesn't matter what you do, He loves you. It's not about your works or your good behavior. Hallelujah. You with me? He loves you. Why? Because God so loved, He sent His Son. What more? How much more love can you show? Never doubt that. He doesn't love you because you behaved yourself today. Because that's conditional. That's unconditional. Hallelujah. You with me? So He's restored you. When we become the righteousness of Christ, and I'm in Christ, that makes me fit for heaven one day. It's going to prepare a place for us. But when Christ is in me, that makes me fit for earth. That's what it makes me fit for. That's what Paul wrote, said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. So you're not only in Christ, and we need that, that's where it starts, but Christ is in you. And everything you do and learn to live from, you've got to learn to live from the fact that Christ is within. And everything God communicates and speaks and promises, it's the Christ in you that can do the work, not you. Just what He's saying. Therefore, just do it. And so we've got to learn the process of this divine union and how to, in a sense, if I can put it in my, release Christ out of us. Bill Johnson put it, said something like this, I remember listening to him. He said, it's like we've imprisoned Christ within us through our unbelief. And he's saying, let me out, let me out, let me out. You can heal nobody. You can save nobody. But the Christ in you can do it all. Hallelujah. Because He just wants to use your facilities, your body, your hands, your eyes, your personality in the way you are and the way He's created you. And the giftings He's given you. Don't be like someone else. Please don't be like this man. Just be you. You uniquely created. And it's the Christ in you that will express who He is. We just got to allow Him and give Him. So there's times in my life where I just stop. And I just say, oh, Lord, You're inside me. You're inside me. I just, again, a fresh surrender. This body to You, my faculties to You. Just do what only You can do. I can't do it. Amen. That's what He's teaching you. It's such a small, it seems so, but it's profound. And unfortunately, what happens is, I believe that our reigning in life and serving and experience something is dependent upon the awareness of this truth. As this truth gets grounded in us, and as this truth gets cemented in us, and as this truth gets established in us, and the awareness grows within us, it has impact. It has impact not only eternally, but as it begins to express out of us. I don't know if any of you know Todd White. Sorry, is. All right, Michelle and I, he's a unique character. It's just the way God's, don't try and be Todd White. All right, well, I can't, my hair's falling out, he's just growing, but anyway. But Michelle and I and a couple of folk went to one of his things, Love and Power Conference. I just wanted to go see and experience it. And it was a privilege to be there. But it kindled something afresh in me in terms of just being available in the streets, in my daily life, for God to work in and through me. I remember I had the desire when I first got saved. I remember how strong it was. That all I wanted to do, God, let me hear Your voice. Let me hear Your voice. Because I understood early on in my Christian walk, the voice of God is paramount in my life. Paramount. It's the most important aspect of my Christian walk, once I understand that I'm in Christ, is the voice of my Father. It needs to be the loudest voice, yet it comes in a whisper, it comes gently, it comes in a nudge. But to listen to that voice. Because when God speaks, that word did not originate from planet Earth. got to understand it. It carries something else because it comes from the Father himself. And it carries all the dumminous power that it needs. You with me? God, let me hear your voice. Let me hear your voice. Let me hear your voice. I remember the first time I was wrong. As I got saved, that's all I wanted to. Just hear his voice. And I don't know if I told the story. Forgive me if I did. If I did, stop me. So I decided to go and fast and pray. And because I just said, nobody told me that. I just read it in the Bible. I need to just go. So I said to the guy, we were in youth ministry at that stage, I just need to take some time out. He said, go. It was a great guy. Go. So I was so excited. I grabbed my Bible and some water. That was it. And away I went to like the mountains or whatever. I knew where I was going. And when I got there, I was so excited. And I put my Bible down and I thought, now what do I do? Well, let's read. So I read the Bible. That lasted about half an hour. And I thought, what do I do? No, let's pray. All right, I'll pray. And I found how difficult it is just to pray and read. I found how difficult it is. It's not that easy, if you understand what I'm saying. So I thought, no, God, I've got to hear your voice. I've got to hear your voice. And the night came, and it was like nothing. It was like a ceiling above me. So the next morning, I went, oh, get up early. God's going to speak this profound truth to me. Nothing the next day. Same issue. Read, walked around, prayed, lay, read. It was tough. It wasn't easy. And that night came the next morning. I said, Lord, I've got to go home today. Please speak to me. Nothing. And on the car, on the way home, the Lord speaks to me. And you know what he says to me? Profound truth. Listen to your wife. That's what he said. Listen to your wife. Jeez, 3 days of prayer and fasting. Imagine that. Listen to your wife. Yeah, it shows you how stubborn I must have been. But it did. It changed something in me. In other words, listen to what she has to say. Give her attention. Amen. And then it slowly started to come. And then we were in a coffee shop. Michelle and I were having breakfast. And as I looked up, I saw this elderly lady sitting here having breakfast in the coffee shop. And all of a sudden, my heart started to beat fast. My tongue got a little dry. And I just had the sense, just go tell her I love her. So simple. Go tell her I love her, this elderly lady. So I just pretended. I just carried on eating. You know what I mean? I'm saying, God, is that you? Isn't that you? And you know the wrestle that goes on inside. You understand what I'm talking about. So eventually, Michelle went to the pet shop. And those of you know Michelle, she loves animals. So I got up to pay. And as I was paying, I looked at her again. And this thing, this impression wouldn't leave me. So I walked out to go meet Michelle. And I was halfway out the shop. And I said, no, I'll never know if that's God. Let me go back. So I walked back and I knelt. I could be at eye level with her. And I said, are you English or Afrikaans? Coming from South Africa. She said, Afrikaans. I said, oh, no, because my Afrikaans wasn't very good. She said, that's okay, speak English. So I said, well, I was having breakfast with my wife, and when I looked at you, I just said, and I used these words. I said, I felt like Jesus told me to come and tell you how much he loves you. Now, that's so simple. The reaction I got surprised me. She started to shake, and she grabbed my arm, and she burst into tears and wept, and she said, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. I said, it is. Now my faith is rising, boy. Now my faith is rising. So I said, hang on, hang on. And then she told me before I said, hang on. She said, I've just been married for 52 years, and my husband passed away 10 days ago. And I just prayed to the Lord this morning, and it's like he's come to say, I'm still with you. It meant so much to her. A simple thing like that, because it carries dumminous power. That's all I'm trying to say. And that's what Jesus is saying, yeah, it's the Father working in me. The words I say are not my own, it's him speaking through me. So sometimes the words you speak to the people out there, to your spouse, allow God to speak through you. Yeah, the Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a divine union. You take a cloth, a white cloth, and you put it in dye, purple dye, red dye, make it purple for royalty, and you bring it out, you still have the cloth, but the dye is in the cloth and the cloth's in the dye. You can't separate them. Christ is in you and you're in Christ. You cannot separate it. Amen. It's a profound truth. See, it gives us an appetite for the impossible. That's what it does. It gives us an appetite for the impossible. As I said, one makes you fit for earth, one makes you fit for heaven. God put the resurrected Christ by the Holy Spirit within my being. The Holy Spirit can be imprisoned in the bodies of unbelieving Christians. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a type of believer, it's a state. The Holy Spirit wants to be released to change and transform people, to meet people. We are stewards of a heavenly realm. God designed us to be a vessel which He can flow through to confront the pain and the impossibilities people live with and are facing. Learning how to be co-laborers with God. I'm powerless by myself, yet I'm not by myself. Christ is within me. And it's a process of learning. It's a process. My encouragement to you, when you wake up every morning, and when you awake, you know what I mean, fully awake, either you've had your coffee or whatever, not when you're still, you don't understand what I'm saying, when you're really awake, just take a moment, just say, Jesus, you're living within me today, and I just surrender to you afresh today. Do whatever you want to through me today. Then leave it. Then you go about your business, and you'll be see what will happen. If you do that every day, you'll be driving the car, and all of a sudden, the thought will come, phone so-and-so. And you get on the phone, and you speak to them, and you see how you can encourage them. Or, as you walk in a shop, just go speak to that lady. Or, touch that lady. Or, take the neighbors some flowers, or whatever. It's the little things in life have profound impact. And then when you're drawn to somebody that's just struggling physically, you're just drawn to them. You just look at them and somehow your heart goes out. Just go over to them. Do you mind if I pray for you? I can see you struggling physically. If they say no, it's fine. Hello? It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ in you. At this conference, we went out. Part of what they do is you spend the first session and then you go out. They release you as you're going to have lunch or dinner. You go to a restaurant, but they want you just to be open to whatever the case is. So we went to this particular restaurant. My wife, Michelle, and I were there and some other folk. Actually, my son was at the conference and we were all sitting. Clayton wasn't there. We were sitting there and the waiter came and she started. I always ask the waitress, what's your name? Because I want to engage her personally. I want to interact. And I find many of them, when you engage them personally, they're very open to you. So she told us her name, and I said, oh, what does it mean? And she told us, et cetera, et cetera. And then she said, where are you from? Because of the accent. I said, well, we're actually from South Africa. And she said, wow, I'm going on a mission trip to Africa. So I said, oh, are you a Christian? She said, no. Oh, that surprised me, but anyway. I said, oh, okay, all right. She said, no, I believe that there's a being, but, you know, I believe there's something. So I just said to her, well, would you like to meet that being? She looked at me. She said, I'll introduce him to you. She said, okay. So I said, well, why don't you bring my coffee? Because she's still bringing my coffee and we'll chat later. She said, okay. So she gladly brought my coffee. And then when I got up to pay, I went to the till. And I said to her, do you mind if I pray for you? I don't want to do it in front of everybody and embarrass. She said, no problem. I said, that person, his name is Jesus. Would you like to meet him? She said, yes. So simple. So I said, okay. So I laid my hand on her shoulder, prayed for her. She started to weep. When we were finished, she said, are you coming back? Are you coming back? She was so excited. Are you coming back tonight? I said, we will try. She said, I want to talk to you. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, but you've got to go plant seeds. God brings the growth. Just go plant the seeds. Just go plant the seeds. In your normal day life, be open to planting seeds. Become a seed planter. Just scatter them. Let's see what God does with them. Amen. I'm encouraging you. Through your giftings, through who you are. We have two wonderful musicians over here. By the way, I just feel for the two of you. I don't know who you are. I feel for the two of you that you have possibly been a little hidden over a period of a while. I saw you in a tunnel. And you're hidden. But it's been a season of hiddenness in God. But you're like on a train track, and at times when you go through a tunnel, there's a hole in the tunnel, and the sun shines, and then it's like dark, and the sun shines. And you've just persevered in this tunnel, and what you feel God's put in your hands, and the giftings He's put in you. But I feel like you're coming out of the tunnel. I feel like you're going to become known, if I can put it that way. But it's not you doing it, it's God doing it. I feel the season is changing for that to happen. I really do. I feel for you, sir, as well, that I feel, do you record music? Do you? You do? Okay. I feel like one of the things you need to do, besides what you record, is you need to do something, I don't know what you call it, I'm not a musician, an album, a CD, I don't know what it is, whatever, you know what I'm talking about, where your guitar needs to display. There's an anointing on both of you, but there's an anointing on your guitar, sir. Okay. You're a very unassuming man, and I feel like just as you put that on something, just your guitar playing, even in the songs we sing, but just play the guitar. Your wife can play hers behind, but no words. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I feel like it's going to bring some healing to people as they listen to it, as they drive in their cars, as they whatever their case is. Amen. Just to encourage you. Okay. All right. So, how do we stay in a place, as best as we know how, where we can just say, Lord, I'm open to be your vessel? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. Okay. All right. I'm glad you asked the question. How do we stay in a place where we can just say every day, Lord, I'm available. I'm going to give you a couple of handles if I can do that. Very simple. Two things. Number one, remain full of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Under this point, walk in forgiveness. Walk in forgiveness. Learn to walk in forgiveness. You're going to have opportunities to be offended. Trust me. You're going to be offended even by this man possibly. Not that he wakes up in the morning and says, who should I offend? But just leaders tend to offend or whatever. They don't mean it, but it just happens. You understand? Forgive. 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 Learn to walk in forgiveness. I'm encouraging you. You with me? Unforgiveness blocks the flow of life. That's all I'm trying to say. Okay. B, under the same point, remaining full of the Holy Spirit. Learn to develop and walk in humility. How do I do that? How do I cultivate humility? Number one, worship. Be a person of worship, of praise. We, as often as we can, try and put worship on in our house, just as we go about our daily, just as we're doing this or doing that or whatever we're doing, working. We try and just put worship on in the background. And what I find is you find subconsciously you sing into it. And even as you're just working and planting or mowing the lawn, you just sing into the Lord and you worship. You understand what I'm saying? It cultivates something in you. Cultivate honor in your life. This is all under humility. Cultivate how to honor God and how to honor other people. It's key. Honor is a vehicle of inheritance. That's what it does. That's why the Bible says, honor your father and mother. So it may go well with you. Amen. All right. Next one, gratitude. Learn to live a lifestyle of gratitude, of thankfulness. Even if you're going through a tough time, find what you can be thankful. My wife taught me this, for God. Write down, God, I'm thankful for this, for my family. Even if you're going, but learn to live with gratitude. Amen. That begins to cultivate some sense. Because when I thank somebody, it's like I say, I verbalize or acknowledge my gratitude. It keeps us in a place of humility. Amen. Okay. Still under the first point, remaining to be full of the Holy Spirit. Remain and abide in the Word as best as you know how. Remain and abide in this as best as you know how. However, if you need help or you need to read something to help you in it, remain and abide in the Word. Amen. Let this become alive in you. Take this. Go yum, 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 yum. All right. If you need to put peanut butter on it, that's fine. Yum, 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 yum. Okay. Get it inside you. That's all I'm trying to say. Get it inside you. Okay. You know why? Because truth does not change. Truth is truth. Circumstances come and go. My feelings come and go. But truth is. And it helps me stand on it. So when I'm not feeling right, I can just say, but this is truth, and it helps me stand. Builds me up. Amen. The word does a lot of things. I'm just touching a few of them. All right. Embrace and cultivate fellowship with the Father. Learn how to fellowship with the Father and with one another. All right, turn to the person next to you and say, you're my sister or you're my brother. It's a fact. That's a fact. In Christ you are. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you got on with your sisters? How many of you got on with your brother all the time? In your natural family? No, there were moments. There will be moments, but they're still your brother and sister. Never forget that. Amen. It's amazing. You can talk badly about your brother and sister, but don't let anybody else do it, eh? Don't let them say what you say. I'll take you out. That's my family. That's how you need to feel about one another. That's my family. Amen. Yeah, it's fact. Read the word. It's your family. Amen. All right. Persist in prayer. Now, you don't have to become this great intercessor, but just be a person of prayer. Now, there are times where you go alone and pray. You know what the greatest prayer you can pray is? I mean it. It's a groan that comes from deep within you. You just go, oh, God. Because there's a deep, from deep hunger in you. And that'll happen some. How many of you have experienced it? You just don't know what to say or do. You just say, God. Amen. But learn just to persist in prayer. As you're driving your car, thank you, Lord. Glad you're with me. Amen. Be aggressive towards the enemy. Do not flirt with the enemy. I'm encouraging you. Do not flirt with the enemy because he will snag you. I use this analogy. If you're walking up a mountain, and I suppose many of you do hiking, yeah, you don't walk right on the end. You walk against the mountain. Because if you walk on the end, you're going to slip sometime. You're flirting with the edge. You know what I mean? So if you know you've had a struggle in your life, I'm going to use a simple example. Say alcohol, and the Lord has set you free. Well, it wouldn't be wise to visit pubs. That doesn't mean you can't go in there, but it wouldn't be wise to go in there regularly because you're just putting yourself in a place where it's going to be difficult. That's all I'm saying. God will send some other people in there that don't struggle with that to go and speak to those people. Amen. Yeah. Don't flirt with the enemy. I'm encouraging you. Okay. That's how we remain full of the Holy Spirit. Very basic, simple stuff, but that just allows the Spirit of God to flow in our life. And then the next point is find the leading of the Spirit of God. What I mean by that is learn to follow the life, how you feel life come to you, how you feel life expressed to you. Learn that process. Learn to hear His voice. That's how you follow the life. Find the way of God. In other words, how does He do things? The Bible says Moses knew my ways, but Israel knew my deeds. Israel just knew the deeds, but Moses knew the way the deeds were done. So you need to find the ways. Before we adopted, we had two kids, my son and my daughter, and we had to find the way to discipline them. So my daughter, when I needed to discipline, I just looked at her and I said, oh, Dad, I'm sorry. So when I had to discipline my son, I looked at him. He looked back at me. So, all right, that's not going to work. All right, I've got to find another. What else? And we had to find the way to discipline him was to stop him seeing his friends for a season. He would do whatever we asked him. You with me? It's different. Same family, but just you got to find the ways of God in your life. You with me? The ways He leads you. It'll be different for each one of you. Because when you find His ways, you'll feel His life flowing. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. And then just say, Lord, I love You. You love me. I'm in You, hallelujah, because I'm in You, I'm righteous, I'm forgiven, I'm accepted, I'm loved, I've been delivered, hallelujah, because I'm in You. But You're in me, Lord, hallelujah, do what You want to through me. It's that simple. And then we see what happens. Can you do that over the next couple of weeks? Let's see what happens. So with musicians, it might be sing a song over somebody. It's fine. It's wonderful, because that's the way he works through you. Amen. He says to me, sing a song over somebody. You must know it's a miracle, because they will run. Trust me, they won't stay there. Okay. My wife says I sing in five keys at once. In our church, whenever I'm worshiping, as we start, there's people with you, then you start worshiping, and slowly they move away. So it's just a big circle around me like this. Where's everybody gone? Hallelujah. Make a joyful noise. All right. So what we would like to do is this, if we may, if that's okay with you. Sometimes you find your place in your life where you're just stuck, or you just find maybe there's an issue you're struggling with, or you find, God, I just need a fresh touch from you. Or God, do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, God, I'm just longing for you for greater revelation. Or Lord, this truth that maybe I've just heard you, let this be deposited in me. Let me learn how to live it out. It's a process. Whatever it is, we want to pray for you, not because it's us, because we trust God to touch you and do something. I have faith for that, just because that's the way I found God works in me and through me, and I can't deny that. You understand what I'm saying? And I just found with us that if I can just lay hands on people, God can do some things. Not me. Don't look to me. Please. It's the Lord's work. And if you feel, God, just I want you to touch me. I want you to just to stir something in me. I want you just to maybe break something off me. God, I just want you to open up my heart afresh. Whatever it is, just so I can learn to walk in this, we would love to pray for you. Or maybe it's just, God, I just desire more of you. That's simple. You with me? Well, let's trust God will start something today afresh, or continue what he's doing, but just with greater impact. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it's only the Holy Spirit that can enable that. I can't. All I've been trying to say is, let me quickly read this and then we'll pray. If ever you want a book to read, The Indwelling Life of Christ by a man called Major Ian Thomas. Outstanding. He's written a couple of books. But his whole teaching is just something. What I've got this book, I don't know. I've been teaching now this about 2 or 3 years, and about 4 months ago I came across this book. It's amazing how God lets you come across books, eh? Everything God demands of us is, from God's point of view, completely logical for this simple reason. He calls you, is faithful. Also, he will do it. What God demands in your life is what he himself will faithfully accomplish. Now, if God has called you, and if God himself will accomplish what he has called you to do, what could possibly be illogical about anything to which he has called you? For it is God who works in you both to will and to act and to do according to his good pleasure. If God has willed it, and if God himself is going to work it in you to bring about what he wills, what could possibly be logical about any part of this for your life? He's right, because it's God doing it. In every demand God makes upon us, there is a hidden factor that is absent in the reasoning of fallen humanity. That hidden factor is something you should be able to guess by now. It is God himself. God engineering us in such a way that the presence of the Creator within the creature is indispensable to man's humanity, so that we in normality will be distinguished by the quality of life and behavior that follows. And people say, how can you do that? You will say, because it's Christ in me. God calls you to a life of righteousness. And by your consent, he lives that life of righteousness through you. You don't live it. Hallelujah. Amen. Take away white knuckle Christianity. I must try good. I must be good. Ooh, just relax. Let Christ be in you. Let him do the work. That is what saves us from the futility of self-effort. If you trust Christ for the life he wants to live through you, the next step that you take will be taken in the very energy and power of God himself. Will be taken in the power of God himself. Amen. Father, you live in me, and I lived in you. And because you lived in me, and I lived in you, you will do what I've been doing. Why? Because I'm going to live in you, and you're going to live in me. Because all I did is I just let the Father who was living in me do what he wanted to do, because I was in him, and he was in me. Now, boys, you're going to be in me, and I'm going to be in you. Therefore, go do what I did when I was in the Father, and the Father was in me. That's simple. Go. Hallelujah. Amen. What could be more simpler? Hey, boys, don't you agree? Yeah, with you boys as well. Amen. I agree. Doesn't matter age. Age is no category. It's not a small Holy Spirit. He's